This is a really important podcast, Kathy. Hopeless, not truthless. And Garcelle...
Are you talking to me now?
Yes, you're laughing at...
I'm laughing because she's funny. It's not about your podcast. Okay, the name is not amazing, but they do good work.
They do amazing work. Hey guys, it's Sarah.
And Narelle.
You're listening to Hopeless, Not Truthless.
The truthful podcast about hopeless people.
Narelle, jury duty selection is Monday.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I can't believe I actually got selected to... be selected, possibly. I can't wait. This is like a fucking dream come true.
This is our dream come true.
This is our dream.
Finally, one of us, between the two of us, we love us some crime. We love like criminology, all of it. Sarah's been selected for jury duty. Well, as you said, selected to possibly be selected. So we're like Googling ways to make her more desirable to be selected. If anybody has any tips, hit us up, leave a comment. We need to get Sarah into jury duty.
But then I read it's just a random selection. They draw.
What?
They just do a draw. So you have to like pass the precursor, whatever. Maybe that's just showing up. I have no idea. And then they just do a random draw.
The precursor must be questions. Like they have to determine whether or not you have any like pre-bias.
Yeah, you would think, right?
I swear to God, I'm going to be very disappointed if you don't make it in.
Girl, same. So that's that. And we have so much to talk about today, guys. Like, welcome new listeners, by the way. Hello, everybody, for our Vanderpump and the Valley recap. We're not really recapping the Valley, but we're going to give some thoughts, aren't we, Narelle?
Yeah, we watched it. I have opinions. I don't yet know if I want to recap this show, but I do have some thoughts about the people on it. So definitely going to get into that at the end of our VPR episode. Just wanted to let you guys know, now that all the Housewives shows are over, we're going to change our schedule up a little bit starting next week. So this week, we're just going to have two episodes. They're going to come out probably around the same time this week. And then next week, we're going to be releasing an episode on Wednesday and then another episode on Friday. That's probably going to be our summer schedule going forward. And, you know, we'll go with the flow.
Absolutely. And guys, let us know if there's any shows you want us to cover that we aren't. Yeah. We may consider it.
I know Summer House Martha's Vineyard is coming out. Have you watched that one?
No, I haven't. No, I took a break from Summer House entirely last year. I was very over it.
It's good.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it. But like if we ever feel like maybe we want to touch on that, let us know if you guys watch that. If you want us to recap it as well, we could maybe give that a go. But for now, we're going to be doing Vanderpump on Wednesday and Summer House on Friday. Did I get that right? And then maybe we're going to throw in some little tidbits about the Valley.
We'll see if it can engage us for a whole episode.
Yeah. We'll see. What did you think about this VPR episode? Did you like it?
Yeah, I did like it. I like that the tides is turning against Sandoval.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's on purpose. Like, I wonder if they went back to re-edit, you know what I mean? Like, maybe throw in some juicy little things there for the haters, which is all of us.
Thank you. Thank you. Keep it up.
I liked the episode, too. So let's not waste any more time because I've got got a few thoughts to get into about the Valley after this as well. And let's just get into it.
Let's just do it, baby. Vanderpump Rules, Season 11, Episode 8, Peaks and Valleys. Hint, hint. Right out of the gates. Talk about a jump scare.
Oh my God, I didn't even get that.
What?
peaks and valleys.
Oh my god, I love that. Oh, you're so pretty. We all know you're the brains of this operation. So you're pretty and smart.
If that's true, we're all in trouble.
Bullshit. I was terrified when I saw Schwartz in the face mask with the white strips. Like, oh my god,
jump scare. Yes.
It was horrifying. Like Freddy Krueger.
Imagine waking up to that.
Joe's like, you're so cute, my little sugar pie. Lots of Joe. And I kind of like, I wanted more though. More Joe.
This was a bit of a calmer Joe.
I think this episode. Like married up Joe, you know? Yeah. So I'm going to jump to Katie and Lala when they meet for dinner. This is the next day after their, I would say, pretty big fight. And Lala says, Katie, this is the third time I feel like you have looked at me like your enemy. I thought that was pretty poignant. What did you think?
Well, she also asked if Katie thought she hit Lala like below the belt.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Katie said, yeah, I did. Yeah, I do. The thing that I think really bothered me in this conversation is that Katie did all the apologizing. Like, when I look back to that argument between Katie and Lala, both of them were being
aggressive. Oh, we don't want to use that word.
Both, I know. I didn't. That's why I was like, the same. But yes, aggressive. Both of them are being aggressive. Both of them were looking at each other like they hated each other. But Lala's asking Katie if she did. And Katie's owning up to it. And Lala's not. So I don't think that was fair.
I agree. I don't think that's fair. And obviously things are not good between the two of them, because in the confessional, Lala explains to us, you know, Katie has been my ride or die for many years, but now that I'm in my soften up era, she isn't fitting into my life like she used to. I'm trying to change because I don't want to end up a miserable, bitter bitch like Katie, who's happy in her warpath.
Okay. I don't think she said like Katie.
Okay, I may have added that.
just wanna specify. I mean, obviously she was talking about Katie, but she definitely did not say like Katie.
A miserable, bitter bitch who was happy in her warpath.
Like, I'm over here being all soft and gentle, and Katie is happy on her warpath.
Right.
Which, as a viewer, I gotta say, it's coming across the absolute opposite way.
Right. I know.
Katie is the one who is so solid and so comfortable and confident in who she is as a woman. And she's just being firm. But I think she's also being quite calm and gentle about all of her opinions. Whereas Lala is the one coming across unhinged and angry and hard, not soft. And she's the one going on the attack. Like, she's the one stirring up the drama with Sheena and the bitterness.
Absolutely.
Starting the Bitter Betty Club against Ariana. And she's going after Katie. She's going after everybody. So what the fuck is she talking about?
She's even going after Sandoval and Schwartz still. So it is odd. And this conversation at the end of it, I thought, okay, Lala, it's very obvious now. You are playing both sides. That's how I feel about her.
She is probably the only one who really talks up her, like, therapy era. Like, she's a therapy girl and she's getting all this work done. She's really, you know, trying to be introspective, which is just so weird to me because she's the one of the furthest away from actually seeing her own behavior here.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, she has grown. She has done some work. I've seen some self-improvements, but it's not apparent right now.
No, she's accusing Katie of her own behavior. She's completely projecting. And I think Katie is showing a lot of growth for being like, yep, I'm sorry. Instead of being like, that's fucking you, bitch. Like, I would if I was Katie.
Sandoval has a pool party.
You mean a fool party? That's what I wrote down. Tom's fool party.
I love this. Tom's fool party is so perfect. Okay, first of all, did you see the blonde girl talking to Sandoval right at the beginning? For a minute.
Like, short blonde hair?
Shorter. Like, she looked identical to Ariana, like, 10 years ago.
Oh.
It creeped me out.
No.
I did a double take. I'm like, oh, nope. Right, for the hands.
He likes that haircut.
Apparently. So Schwartz is feeling uncomfortable, apparently, and mm-hmm. he wants to leave the pool party because Sandoval told him that some girls I might be interested in are coming here. And Schwartz is like, this is weird. I don't think you should be doing that under the same roof. You know, the roof that you share with your ex. And yeah. he leaves. But let's be real here. We know Schwartz doesn't give an actual fuck about any of that. All he cares about is his own reputation.
The fact that Tom Schwartz left a party and he's walking out the door and he says, oh, it's really weird in there. The fact that Tom Schwartz is calling out the vibe of a party for being weird, that's a terrible sign for a pool party. Like, I'm not even at this party and I want to leave it.
I will say, I think Sandoval looks good. I think he looks healthier. He looks.
Excuse me?
Okay. Okay, you know what I'm saying.
What? What? No, I don't. Your white toenails look good.
No, I'm not talking
what
about
are we, Sarah, Noelle. Choose your words carefully, okay? What are we talking about here?
Better than he did last season. The mustache was just the worst thing, even worse than the white nail polish. He still gives me the ultimate ick, but he looks healthier. I'm going to say that.
And that's probably just cutting out booze. We'll do that to anybody.
Dude, did you see him flirting in the pool? Was that flirting? Sarah, what's going on here?
We've got to talk about this man's game. First of all, he's like popping his little butt out and crossing one leg over the other as if he's sitting in a chair, but he's in the pool. If I was those girls, that would have been enough for me to be like, I have the absolute ick. Get the fuck away from me. However, then he's also going on to be like, so like, you guys going to Burning Man? I live here with my roommate who actually I was like, you know, like in a like 10-year relationship with. And like, she's like my roommate now and I fucking cheated on her. So I just like, I slip her food under the door, you know?
Crushed up potatoes.
Crushed up chips. Because I'm like a good guy like that, you know? Like I want to keep her fed. Like,
oh,
fucking what?
I was
what are you talking about? So no. Repulsive. Just the little butt out. Just sitting there, crossing his legs in the pool. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't think he could be less sexy if he tried.
Mm-mm. No. Like, he definitely does look healthier, like I said, but I'm not sure it's working. Nothing's working for me, because then he has the nerve to tell us in confessional, you know, I kind of okay with this. Like, I think I could get back into it pretty quickly. It as in dating, and which is hysterical because you weren't out of it, Tom. You were dating Rachel, you idiot.
And he's also probably been heavily dating the past 3 months, like since Scandal, since Rachel went away.
Yeah.
Let's call a spade a spade. And the thing that really pisses me off is that it doesn't matter that he's the ickiest man on the planet Earth. Like, I just saw a video of this man leaving the bar with three gorgeous women and like paparazzi's like questioning him. He's like getting in the car with his smug smile. It doesn't matter how disgusting of a person he is. Like, fame, oh, I don't know what you call them. People, groupies, fame groupies. I don't
groupies,
know.
Yeah.
He's always going to have a beautiful woman on his arm if he wants to. And it sickens me.
So unfair. Honestly, the personality is a zero.
Yeah. Nothing about this man is a hero.
Nothing. I can't imagine dating this dude. I can't. Even sleeping with... Oh, I can't. Okay, next.
I can't imagine being this man's assistant. The way that Anne is cleaning up after these fucking parties.
Mm-hmm. What a shit show. And Ariana's like, poor Anne. Like, what is her job again? Like, really? So Anne's cleaning up this ginormous mess that everyone left at his house, of course, at their house. And Ariana just comes downstairs and rolls her eyes in disgust.
Anne walks into the workout room where Tom is having a nice little stroll on the treadmill. And I'm like, why aren't you helping clean up the party? He makes a stupid comment about how I know that, like, whatever I can't get to, Anne will come clean it up. So I'm not leaving a mess ever. Yes, you fucking are. You're just paying somebody else to clean up after you. And that's not her job. That's not an assistant's job. Hire a housekeeper. Hire cleaning staff. Yeah. Get off your ass and clean up after yourself. This is your disgusting party with fucking hair on the ground. Oh, I hate him.
Get Billy Lee to help you, okay? Get her out from the basement and ask her to help you, all right?
He's an absolute pig.
He's a pig in all realms. Moving on from that, we see Ariana and Sheena. And so Sheena comes over to visit. And I loved this because Ariana tells Sheena straight up, I've heard from people that you're upset with me. You know, of course, she's referring to Lala and also fucking Lisa, where we see a flashback. And Lisa is basically telling off Ariana about Dancing with the Stars and how Sheena found out. And you have to talk to her, darling. Why did we not see this scene?
Because they probably didn't want us to know that Ariana signed an NDA promising she wouldn't tell anybody. Like, that's key information.
For real.
And you're not going to tell someone like Sheena. You think Sheena's going to keep that shit to herself?
No. Even Ariana's like, really? You want me to break my NDA for Sheena?
That would have been page 6, like, TMZ article immediately. And Ariana knows that. She had to she had to reveal it on Instagram the way she did. Yes, maybe she could have thrown Sheena a text simultaneously. I don't know. I think it's weird. And I know there is some backstory here. Apparently, Sheena allegedly was being put in the running for Dancing with the Stars this year. That's why she was taking the dance lessons. Like, she's not as crazy as we thought she was. She still is. Let's be real. But so the disappointment, I understand, but fucking swallow it. Do not talk about your disappointment here. There's no way. Like, shut up. Just stop. There's no way to express that disappointment without looking like a total bitch.
And I think she was almost a little sheepish in this moment when Ariana was calling her out. Because she's like, no, I don't want people putting words in my mouth, especially Lisa. So I thought that was interesting.
Did you notice she was holding the dog's hand?
Yes, I did. I did actually find it a little charming.
A support animal? I don't know. They also discussed Tom. A hypothetical, like in the future, you know, years from now, you know, maybe like years from now, if I were to become friends with Tom, what would you think? Was that cool? Would you be cool with it? Ariana's like, I see you, bitch. I see you.
Yes, she does. She's like, it's very hard for me to see my best friend tell me that you miss the person who has hurt me so deeply. And Ariana tells us in confessional, and she is so right. Like, Sheena is trying to soften the blow because this is absolutely happening. So I'm prepared. Yeah, she's clocked her.
I was a little bit annoyed that we didn't get to see the end of this conversation or more of this conversation. They just cut it there.
They did. And we needed more because these two are allegedly best friends, right?
Well,
that's what we've heard for 10 seasons, practically 9 seasons.
Yeah.
You can tell the vibes are weird between them. So,
well, honestly, it was probably a really good conversation where Ariana looked like a really good person. And that's why editors were like, we got to cut this shit out.
She looks too normal.
Yep. She's not angry enough. We need villain energy from her. So this conversation, it's gone.
Yeah. But that's all right, because now we're heading over to Schwartz's little happy place.
My God.
With Joe. This is weird.
A non-date.
A non-date. And they go on a goddamn swan boat. All right? They're pedaling together on a romantic swan.
I found her calmer. I found her way less fidgety. Less manic. So it's interesting to me that the crackhead energy seems to come out more at night. Think what you will. Make whatever assumptions you might want to make out of that. I'm not saying anything. But yeah, she seemed calmer. Or maybe she just got some rest. I don't know.
Maybe she's getting used to the cameras as well. Like, there could be multiple factors.
Yep.
But
yeah, that's a fair point.
I hate how Schwartz calls her Joseph and tries to basically masculinate her, make her become more masculine.
Like, bro her out.
Bro her out. Masculinate. He tells us, you know, I could marry Joe and be quite happy, but I want to be single. All right.
as he's laying in bed with her every night of the week in the home that they share, you know that he's telling this to Joe, except he's not saying the last half. He's telling her things like, I could really see myself settling down with you one day. I could really see us getting married and having kids one day.
In 4 years, was it?
Yeah, really? three years. Yeah.
Poor Joe.
You can see Joe really loves this man. And they probably would be a fantastic couple. But Schwartz is, he's stringing her along. That's not cool.
No, he's honestly such a dick. He's worse than Sandoval in some ways. All right. I loved this next part because there's a group party. And did Sandoval arrange it? I wasn't sure which restaurant it was at. But it was somewhere.
No, I didn't quite recognize the restaurant.
No, it looked cool.
Or the bar. Oh, I thought it looked lame. I thought it looked lame. Yeah.
I thought this was a place you and I would go all the time.
Like a dive bar.
Yeah. That's what I like, though.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
It's somewhere, I know from the after show, it's somewhere that they've been going for years. Like, that is an actual hangout spot for them. I just didn't know. I was like, is this Tom Tom? It's not any of the bars that they run, I don't think.
No, I had the feeling it wasn't, but Ariana and Katie show up and Tom is shocked, irritated, and he's like, I just did not expect her to show up for this.
I think he's scared.
Yeah, he looks scared.
The music change and that clip of Ariana and Katie walking up the street, I was like screaming. I was so excited for it. I'm so here for it. I fucking love this energy. Like, yes, bitch, you come in there. You claim your friends back. Everybody was so happy to see her, eager to hug her and welcome her in. I fucking love that she did this. I love that her and Katie did this together.
Power move for sure. And Schwartz is sitting there like he just saw a ghost. And I thought it was perfect. This is where Lala confused me again. Because last week she's trying to make up with Sandoval, even though they got into a big fight. But then she's like, yes, Ariana, thank God. I'm so glad you're back. This is so great. I'd so much rather look at her than Tom. I'm just getting such inconsistent vibes with Lala. I don't know where she actually stands. This is the issue that I think some people are having. We're seeing show Lala, and then we're seeing the real Lala who wants to support Ariana, but isn't because of the show.
I saw it the other way. I saw that as a calculated comment, something that she could turn back on and be like, no, I was supporting Ariana. I did want to see Ariana. I was more of an Ariana fan, maybe because of all the support, not support, but all of the interest she's shown in Sandoval lately. That's why it came across as fake to me when she did that. It just felt a little bit phony. Sent up my little phony radar. I just was getting some prickles.
Tom has to take a shit. That was amazing that they showed that.
Which twice. I just want to point this out. It was absolutely an anxiety poop. Anyone who has anxiety poops. Like, that man was shook that Ariana showed up.
Oh, he was.
I love that.
Sheena confronts Sandoval about his feelings about Raquel abandoning him because she heard he was complaining about it. I have to say, she pretty much went in on him, but in an attempt to help him grow.
This is exactly what Ariana is trying to avoid by setting the boundaries with her friends and who she's going to spend her time with. She does not want her friends to be able to go up to Sandoval and make a comment about, like, oh, Ariana said you had like a sexy singles party. Like, a little throwaway comment that Ariana made, Sheena has now potentially turned it into an issue. Like, this is what the boundaries are for. And Sheena does not grasp that. Ariana's not just doing that to be a bitch. Like, it has an actual reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is where I think it's going to play back. And Ariana's going to go, there we go. Yeah. This is why.
She's vindicated.
Sheena then all of a sudden, randomly, in my opinion, brings up Katie to Tom. Like, you need to acknowledge how you hurt Katie. But Tom's tired, guys. He's tired of being a scapegoat. He can't do it.
Well, Sheena said the trigger word, ego. Up until that point, he was kind of listening. And then she said ego. And he's like, I do not have an ego. And he just starts melting down. His brain starts to malfunction whenever the trigger word is said. I appreciated the advice that Sheena's giving him because it is spot on. Like you said, though, it is for his benefit. I think. It's not for everybody else's benefit. She's actually giving him the tools and the steps required to ingratiate himself back into the group. He's just too stupid to hear it.
Too stubborn. He won't take that advice because he has to do it Tom's way.
Yeah.
I didn't know where James came from, but he just popped out and he's like, Tom, come on, man. You gotta burn your bridge. Burn every bridge around you, man. And Tom's like, I'm not gonna grovel to these motherfuckers anymore. And then he just walks away. Another walk away scene.
He probably had to go poop again. He had to go poop again. But for real, this man is pathetic. Like, sorry, when did you grovel in the first place? Was that when you were buying everybody gifts? Like bribing them? Was that groveling? Because I don't remember a grovel ever.
Never. To nobody. Was he referring to the reunion at this point? Is this when that happened?
I guess
when
so.
He was sobbing. Yeah.
That's not groveling.
No. It was too fresh then, bro.
Yep. We just got to quickly touch on the ladies outside as well, discussing Allie meeting up with Joe. Loved that clip or the screenshot of Joe's text to Katie, like the day she announced her divorce online. Joe sent her like a very weird text about
very Joe-esque.
Justin Bieber loves her, and she expressed how much she supports Katie and loves Katie and thinks Katie's amazing. And then Katie said basically, you know, a month later she was living with my ex-husband. Like, that's wild.
Yeah, well, Joe just took her opportunity when she saw it. She's like, oh, he's mine now. Poor Allie. I think she feels pressure. I think she doesn't exactly want to go see Joe, but she does. So good for her. You know, doing it for the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to say something. I have to point something out. Sheena and Brock are talking, and did Sheena literally just say she found out about Dancing with the Stars on Instagram? Because last week, I thought she told us that Daniel told her.
Oh, yeah.
Because she did say that, right, to LVP. Like, I picked Daniel up from the airport and then he told me.
Yeah, she did. She's conflating the two things now. Maybe Daniel told her to check Instagram. I don't fucking know. Yeah, maybe, she did say.
Maybe. Little Sheena's story isn't tracking here.
This argument between her and Brock seemed healthier to me this time. Like, there was less tension between them.
Yeah.
Which was good.
She was definitely laughing more. Like, they could recover more quickly. But I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of over it. I don't really care anymore.
I mean, no, not really. But that's because I don't like Sheena.
I like her, but every week, I don't care about your babysitter. Okay? Let me know when you get one. And that's fine.
But I think other than Dancing with the Stars and Tom, what does Sheena have to talk about?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it.
We're at least getting more from her than we're getting from Lala. Like, what's Lala's storyline?
Oh, my God. Really, at this point, not much.
Living with her mom.
Yeah, living with her mom. Oh, my God. So Katie goes over to Ariana's house, and they're going to have a games night party. And Katie's in the kitchen, and Ariana's like, gotta go, because Anne just told me Tom's come down to make a protein shake. And Katie's like, all right. You could tell this was previously set up, right?
The most orchestrated conversation I've seen in a long time. Like, it's not, they didn't even try to hide it.
No, they literally didn't. But it did say to me, this is how much Ariana will not be around him.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So Tom offers Katie what I'm going to call the world's most shitty apology. And Katie,
Hold on. It was not genuine. I did not get any genuine feeling behind it whatsoever. But in terms of apologies from Tom, just strictly speaking about the actual words, it was a good one. He didn't say, but you deserved all of it, you stupid bitch. He didn't say, but you were asking for it because you were like just so fucking awful, man. You don't even know, dude. He didn't say any of that. It was an actual proper apology. It's just, you know, he didn't mean a single word of it.
A single word. You're right. For Tom, it was probably a well-formed apology. I just couldn't get past. I could hear the words because all I saw was the hatred radiating out of his body.
Yeah. I think it took every single ounce of strength in that man's body
He was exasperated.
To say this.
Is that a word?
I know. It is a word. And when Katie doesn't accept it immediately, like, she pushes back a little bit, then he melts down, and then he reverts back to original Tom. I fucking love, though, seeing somebody finally stand their ground to him.
Yeah.
Like, in the face of a Tom apology. You know, arguably one of the better Tom apologies he's ever given. Katie's just like, okay, if you're apologizing to me, that's great, but, like, I prefer actions. So.
Yeah. She has the right to not accept his apology after what he's done to not just her, her marriage, her ex-husband, but also now her friend and her business. So,
yep.
Fuck you, Tom. And he just thinks his little schmoozing, charming act will work on everyone, including Katie. Yeah. And she's like, ha, ha, ha. Nope, nope. Just start moving differently, Tom. Just start moving differently. Oh, I loved that.
I fucking loved that line. I also loved when she pointed out, you know, I walked away from a 12-year relationship with somebody I was in love with because I was unhappy. Because Tom's argument this entire time has been about how unhappy he was with Ariana. That's why he cheated. I was so unhappy. You have no idea. I was so depressed. Like, my life was horrible. That's why I cheated. Katie is the one person he cannot say that to because she actually was in his shoes. And she did the proper thing. She did the right thing. She ended the relationship while she was still in love with Schwartz because she was unhappy. And Tom knows that. And Katie knows that Tom knows that. And Tom knows that Katie knows that Tom knows that. And he can't really fight her in that situation.
Yes, girl. Yes, you have nailed it. There's way too much history between these two. And I do think that's why Tom resents Katie so much as well. Like, this is the woman that stood between him and Schwartz, one of the people he can manipulate. Katie's way too smart for him. He knows it.
Katie's too smart for him, and he can't just out-manipulate her. He can't outsmart her in any way. And when he says to her, like, just give me some grace. No.
Yes.
No.
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 No. No. No. I did that for years, Tom.
She's teaching us that no is, like, that's a sentence in itself. You don't have to say anything else. She doesn't follow it up with an explanation. No. Like, I fucking love it. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people don't like Katie. I love Katie. I love her. And this season is such a good season for Katie, in my opinion.
I loved her in this moment. Totally did. And with Lala, she's really maturing and growing, and she knows how things that she says come off. She's very self-aware. She knows, but she doesn't care. And that's what I think we can all appreciate about Katie. How did it make you feel when Sandoval goes, "You look good," as he walks away?
It's fucking weird.
What the
Katie's face was like, okay. Yeah. I've always thought that part of Tom's hatred and the way he despises Katie, like, throughout the entire show, has partly been because he doesn't want to fuck her. And sometimes that makes men really angry when when they're not attracted to a woman, or when that woman doesn't try to do things to, like, make herself attractive to that man, it angers them.
That is so fucked up.
It is. Because on the flip side as well, men also get angry. Like, Jax is the opposite. He gets angry at women that he wants to fuck.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So
yes.
I kind of wondered when he said that, if, like, why, what is your motivation in saying that? Either you're trying to
manipulate her
yourself or manipulate her. And I don't think that that's a comment that would have any effect on Katie whatsoever. It does on Sheena, probably would on Lala.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Katie's somebody that can be manipulated in that way. And I think Tom knows that. So I can't get a good grasp on what his motivation was.
I know. It gave me weird vibes. Like, we've all met a man like Tom, I'm sure. It was almost like a backhanded compliment, of course.
Maybe.
But it was also eerie. It was very eerie. I don't know how to explain it. Like,
because he said something else about her at the bar when they were all there, like, I like your hair. Yeah. He keeps commenting on her appearance, whereas before, I don't know.
Because Katie, I hate to say this and bring this up, but Katie is probably the thinnest she's been in years,
possibly. And I think that is a huge part of like the anger, like how dare you be, not that Katie was ever even overweight, but like, no. How dare you be overweight? I'm like, my dick doesn't want you. That makes me angry.
Ew.
I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't know. I don't
maybe he is attracted to her now, or he's maybe? Like, oh, she doesn't look that bad.
But he keeps shooting out those weird compliments for sure.
Yeah. And is it to put her on edge is maybe how I'm trying to describe it. Is it to intimidate her, you know?
I'm sure he knows consciously and subconsciously over the years. Like, he knows Katie, probably knows Tom thinks she's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Schwartz used to talk about, like, you're disgusting. You know that was a big thing for the Toms against Katie. And so maybe he is trying to ingratiate himself to her, or he's trying to put her on edge by saying that to her now. Either way, I don't think it's just a nice compliment.
I agreed. Totally agreed on that. Speaking about toxic narcissists, we see him then pretending to cry over Rachel. Okay.
This is where he's journaling in his room about his pain waves.
Oh, Narelle, this was so fucking fake. He's playing victim again. He's obviously crying about Rachel, so this gives him permission to move on and date other people in the eyes of the audience.
And did you see Tom Schwartz's face?
Narelle, he was smiling.
But he was also like, he had just numb boredom. Your friend is losing his mind and bawling hysterically in the closet, and you're just staring off into the distance, which, to be fair, that was my expression as well as I was watching the scene. But I did not expect that from Schwartz.
He didn't get up. He didn't really try to comfort him.
No.
Tom has like old pictures of him and Rachel. I don't know.
All right. All right.
Long hair in those.
Okay. Oh, you fucking bitch. You just popped my conspiracy theory balloon. Yes. We got to talk about the hair. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She had long hair in those pictures.
Uh-huh.
And when Rachel cut her hair while she was still with James.
Shut up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So in this picture, I mean, 95, I am 95. I paused it. I am 95% positive that she had long hair. And what? He's referring to these pictures and saying, look at how happy we were together. He said together.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be a picture from the past. This is a picture that you have a fond feeling of love for, because in that picture, you guys were in love. And she had long hair.
She did.
And she cut her hair short while she was still with James.
Oh, my God. Okay. All the pictures they have together, why that one, Tom? And why did you have to show it to the camera? Because you're trying to stir up some more drama for yourself, I think.
I think so, too. And I think the editors left that in on purpose, maybe.
Yes. Oh, my God. We need to deep dive these pictures.
Yes, actually. I didn't look at her outfit. I want to see. Like, maybe we can actually get a timestamp. Like, figure out when these pictures were actually taken.
Yeah, okay. Narelle, my body is a wonderland. Do you think it was written for Sheena?
It has been years since Sheena has been able to bring this up. So I'm so happy for her, first of all. I think I read somewhere that song was written about Jennifer Love Hewitt, wasn't it? I don't doubt that she had an orgy with John Mayer, but I don't think that song was written for Sheena.
Aww,
do you?
Poor Shishu. No, I'm sure not. I'm sure John's like, if you shut up, I could write a song about you.
Yeah, maybe. I used to be the biggest John Mayer fan.
Oh, my God. I remember. I blocked it out.
It was brief. So did I.
Yeah. It was never my thing.
I remember when I think I went to Mexico or something, and his tickets went on sale the day that I was flying, and I told Melissa, I had a really good friend named Melissa at the time. We're not friends anymore because of this. No, I'm just kidding. I left her very clear instructions to go online and buy the tickets for me the second that they went on sale, because this was my chance to see John Mayer when he came to Vancouver. And she promised me, like, I reminded her the night before because I was flying out early, and this bitch forgot. And I didn't get to go. I messaged her because I was in the airport. I texted her like 5 minutes before. I'm like, okay, are you ready? And then I didn't hear from her for like a half an hour, an hour. Oh, and I'm panicking about to get on my flight. And then she was like, I'm so sorry. I forgot. I tried to get you some tickets, but they sold out. And I was like, crushed. I never got to see him.
Monster.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe she prevented you from being the next John Mayer song. Never know.
I would have been okay with that at the time. Yeah. Now, not the biggest fan, not the biggest John Mayer fan. But at the time, would have been just fine being his next Wonderland.
Oh, Sheena. Okay, their game party looked fun. They played Never Have I Ever. It's just, you know what? We needed a little fun. And when Tom and Tom come downstairs. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. But then, then again, there's Lala. Like, oh, I knew the vibes were off. And I'm like, what? Lala, I can't keep up with you, man.
Yes, because Ariana's there, though.
Okay.
It's like Ariana's standing right beside her. If Ariana wasn't there.
Yeah. It's not a good look for her. I hope she finally settles on a side, okay? Because I hate the back and forth, even though I am the most horrible flip-flopper. No. Not in real life. Just for this kind of stuff, though.
Yeah.
Well, probably in real life too. Anyway.
No, you're not.
So Allie reads Joe, and that went fine, I think. Allie tells Joe, you know, I really see you and Schwartz, your signs. It's such a friendship bond. And Joe's like, wah, wah. And like doing her puppet master, like, wah.
Meanwhile, we see the guys at dinner, and they're all giving Schwartz shit. Like, she's totally your girlfriend, bro. Like, your secret girlfriend, right? Like, you're totally going home to Joe. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. And he's denying it tooth and nail.
Joe points out to Allie that she hasn't said one bad thing about anybody. And she's being called a crackhead whore. Which, no. She's never called a crackhead whore, to my knowledge. Katie said that she was spooky and had crackhead energy. Nobody called her a crackhead whore. I fucking loved the part where Joe reveals her mom texted her and actually asked her, so do you do crack? Like, if your mom has to ask.
I do love she revealed that, though.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, so there was some legitimate concern then from the people around you. Just that's okay. Just so we know.
Oh, my God. I like Joe. She's good for the show. I mean, I don't like Joe, but I like her for the show.
This is the same as when you said Sandoval looks good. You have to be careful. You have to be careful with your words.
I can't. I'm sorry, guy. I'm like kind of out of it today. And you know what it was? I think because it was sunny for the last 3 days, beautiful, not a cloud in the sky. And today I woke up and it was flipping raining. And it honestly, I had the sads.
Yeah. You got like vitamin D overload. And
Anyway, let's talk about Schwartz some more. Because speaking of sads, he's like the epitome of sads right now. I really think Schwartz just wants to be single because Sandoval is right now.
Maybe. Yeah. Probably that's part of it. And I think probably that might be part of why Jax wants to be single too.
Ooh. Ooh. Here he comes. You said the J word.
Ah! I know. You say this man's name like three times, he fucking busts through the wall like the Kool-Aid man. Like, Jax is here.
But the only saving grace for Jax in this episode was Sandoval's disgust, because it made me love Jax. It saved him.
Honestly, if this man has to be on my screen again, it needs to be him roasting Sandoval. Like, I loved him for saying, oh, you look good. You look good. Because, you know, I saw a picture of you like a few weeks ago and you looked like shit, man. You looked like you were like 50 years old. You looked awful. You look better now. I was like, oh, fuck yes.
I kind of forgot how unfiltered he was. And he doesn't care. He really doesn't. It is something that we have been missing on the show, I think.
But he's already lying. He's already exaggerating about his great life. He's got this great marriage, great kid.
Happiest I've ever been, man. Happiest I've ever been.
And he's opening up a bar, which, let's just get this straight right from the get-go, okay? This man is not opening up a bar. It's a pop-up bar, Sarah.
What?
It's a tent.
No.
Yes.
A sports bar in a tent?
He is opening up a bar in somebody else's bar.
Shut.
It's a place called Rocco's. It's basically, I'm not quite sure. It's either in the alley behind, like a tent in the alley behind, or it's on the patio, like a shared patio. Like he shares the kitchen. He shares wait staff with an already established business. So he doesn't have to have any of the licenses or permits or anything that the like Schwartz and Sandoval had to go through, and that something about her is dealing with right now. That's why Jax was able to expedite the entire process and get it done, because it's basically just a money thing. Like he's putting his name, Jax's, on someone's patio, essentially.
This is the most Jax thing ever.
Yeah.
Oh, that dude. That talk about ego.
The way he's going off about how happy he is. I'm like,
unbelievable.
Okay, buddy. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, you haven't changed at all, because we all know you're lying now.
Oh, yeah. He is lying. And you can tell from episode one of The Valley that we thought was going to run into this episode, didn't we, Nar? We thought it was just going to be a continuation or...
I had read all the way along that this was going to go into episode one of The Valley the same way that we were introduced to Vanderpump Rules from Beverly Hills. Also the same way we were introduced to Summer House, I believe, started the same way. Like,
yeah.
So here in Canada, that did not happen.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
We have now seen clips. It did happen.
It did happen. I went on Twitter. Because Narelle's going on about this to me. I'm like, oh, I don't.
Yeah, I messaged Sarah. I was like losing my mind. I'm like, I'm so confused. Everybody was talking about how this was going to happen. And it didn't happen. I feel like I'm going like, crazy.
What? Yeah, Sarah's like, I never heard
you
that.
You are going crazy.
But then I saw it on Twitter. I'm like, oh, yeah. The continuation, the 2-hour special thing. We never had that. They were separate episodes. It ended with Jax there. It started The Valley, brand new, no correlation, no connection.
Two totally different shows, which is fine. Like, who cares? But, I mean, I have to be honest, that was the only part I was looking forward to, and I got robbed. So let's just go right into talking about The Valley here.
Let's talk about it. I'm sorry. Brittany bragging about her plastic surgeon? Right away? Why?
I have things to say here. Is she still a Jenny Craig ambassador or whatever?
I don't. Was she Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig? Jenny Craig, I think you're right.
Her chin lipo.
Hmm.
First of all, I don't know if you've seen videos of her online. She has referred to this as a non-invasive procedure. Like, I think she even said she just got, like, laughing gas. But we see a picture of her, and she's fully intubated. Is it intubated or incubated? It's intubated.
Intubated, yeah.
She's intubated. You're under a general anesthetic.
Yes.
If you're intubated. And also, I don't know, like it was a real fast picture, screenshot. Her arms were all marked up with a permanent marker.
Oh.
And then in this scene, she was wearing a compression shirt. I am 99% positive she also got liposuction on her arms.
Of course. Oh, for the love. I'm sad for her because obviously it's a huge insecurity in her marriage and her.
She used to be so gorgeous, and I'm sorry she's messed her face up. Literally, though, she can't move her mouth.
It was jarring. Jawing. It was jarring. Sorry, that was terrible.
It was jawing. I couldn't take my eyes off of her mouth.
Her mouth. Her downturned frown mouth.
It's frozen. Her chin and her mouth are frozen.
And I saw no scarring later on when all the bandages were removed. So I'm sure they filmed much later down the road.
Some of these scenes are probably out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Her confessional is where I was really looking, because those are always usually filmed much later. And it was still happening. She was still giving me the perfect frown face.
Which, honestly, for a non-invasive procedure, that's a pretty bad side effect. Like, that seems almost botched level of an accident, almost. Yes. Like, your face is numb, like, weeks later? That's not okay.
You get lipo on your double chin, and you can't control your jaw. Make it make sense.
Yeah. So, That's my thoughts on her face.
So that's that.
I'm not able to not mention it because I found it to be a huge distractor during this entire episode.
Yes.
I was just staring.
Narelle, Jax blocking Kristen's boyfriend Luke is unbelievable and amazing. And I loved every second of it. I feel sick.
I have a conspiracy theory here, Sarah.
What? What?
I have a weird suspicion.
No, you're not. No.
That Jax and Kristen must still be hooking up.
No!
Yep. Yes. Why does he care? Why does he hate her boyfriend so much? Why does he care so much that she wants to have a baby with him? Why did he block her boyfriend? Like, that's weird. If there's no emotion there, like, what's that about?
Well, Jax is a known blocker. Like, he is very famous for it.
This is true.
So I didn't really look at it like this, but it is odd why he cares so much about Kristen having a baby, especially with Luke.
It's almost obsessive.
It is. The whole fucking episode was about Kristen's uterus. Like, it was almost unbelievable.
Jax is very motivated by his penis. So that's just where my head went immediately.
My God, maybe he has plans for...
That also would explain why Kristen is always so far up Brittany's butt.
Oh, God.
Because that's Kristen's go-to for when she's cheating with someone's boyfriend. Anyways, I'm just putting that out there. That was my theory.
This is all alleged. This is a conspiracy theory.
What were your thoughts about Luke?
I don't have very good thoughts about Luke, really. I don't think he's for her. I'll leave it at that.
I'm really hoping you can point this out, or somebody can point this out. He is a carbon copy of somebody. He looks exactly like somebody. There is a possibility that this is somebody from my personal life, so nobody will be able to shed any light on that. But I think it's actually a celebrity.
Okay. He reminds me of the guy from Modern Family a little bit.
Nope, that's not it.
I need to look at him again.
I'll know it as soon as someone says it.
Okay.
But it was driving me nuts the whole episode. I was like, who do you look like?
Interesting. Is he also a redhead, do you think?
No.
Okay.
Not necessarily.
This expands the horizons.
If we're going to talk about people's hair anyways, we got to talk about Zach.
Sarah.
Did you notice the toupee?
Yeah, I didn't initially, but I saw it on Reddit.
How could you? Yeah, okay.
I was taking notes. I was half listening.
The second this man came on the screen, that hairline, who let him go on camera like this?
Okay, but he's still my favorite character right now. I'm sorry.
I can't. Between Brittany's mouth and his hair... I'm too visually annoyed watching this show so far.
The fact they come from the same hometown, too, is just like the icing on the cake for me.
It is kind of perfect. I don't know my thoughts on this show, honestly. I don't quite really see the need for it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, like, I do agree. It's like a bunch of has-beens getting together is kind of how it feels.
And everybody's marriage is failing and they all have babies. That seems to be the unique drive force here.
And we all know how we feel about kids on the show. Like, it's not for us. So that annoyed me immediately. I text Narelle. I'm like, I hate this show already. Jesse is the one who twisted Kristen's nipple back and called Lala his mistress. So I think he is perfect for the show. I think he's going to be good.
Probably going to give us a lot. Yeah. I couldn't even tell you at this, but there's way too many new people for me too. I'm terrible with names and I'm terrible with faces. So it will take me a while to learn about these people and make my premonitions about them. I got a really bad feeling about Jesse.
Yes, a terrible impression. And it looks like something goes down between Jesse and Kristen. So I'm super, super curious about that, I will say. Poor Nia crying because Jax pants Daniel.
Yes.
Is a choice. And did you see Sheena's face?
No.
Oh my God. She just was smiling at her, like almost laughing, like, oh, baby girl, this is nothing. Okay. You're in for a wild, unprepared ride. Oh my gosh.
I have stuff to say, actually. All right. I have stuff to say here that has really not anything to do with the episode. Is that okay? Can I just do it?
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to feel about this show going forward, specifically with Jax and Brittany and their son, Cruz. Mm. Have you heard anything? Do you know much about Cruz?
No.
He is or was totally nonverbal.
Oh my God. No, I didn't know that.
That would be because Brittany and Jax kind of hide that fact and they aren't really getting him the help that he needs. They're instead putting him on camera when he's like afraid of the cameras, and they're like basically facilitating a life that is in no way helpful for their child and where their child is at in his development. And it's disturbing for me. So they really try to play him off as just being like, oh, he's just shy. He's just shy.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
They have all the resources in the world that they could be getting this little boy help. Mm-hmm. He could be doing all of these courses. I think maybe they have him in speech therapy.
Okay.
But they could be doing a lot more for this little boy. And I think the part that's just really rubbing me wrong is the way that Jax, like he did it on Vanderpump, the little scene on Vanderpump, and I know he's going to do it again. Like he's making himself out to be like such a happy dad and he loves his father role.
Oh my God.
But we're about to see their marriage break down.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he basically kicked Brittany and his child out of the home and he's living in the home instead. So this poor child has been forced out of his comfort zone and is now living in random Airbnbs with Brittany.
Okay.
The hard part for me in watching this show and commenting on it is that there's such disgusting depths underneath that aren't being talked about. And the more I'm learning about Jax and Brittany, the less I'm going to be able to like zip my mouth.
Yeah.
Unless I'm going to be able to bite my tongue. So yep. I'm just letting everybody know. I'm disgusted, honestly.
That changes everything, honestly. Oh, okay. I just feel so sad.
It is very, very sad. I'm so sad for Cruz.
Oh my God. He's only two. There could, like, to be diagnosed so young, you could absolutely. There's so many interventions.
I don't think they're even getting him the diagnosis yet. Like there's so many things that they're kind of putting on the back burner because they want to open this bar. They want to start this show. And so they're kind of ignoring Cruz and his needs and the things that they could be doing, the interventions they could be putting in place for him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what bothers me about the show, I think, is like they're using Cruz as a prop. To be like, oh, look at us and our family. We're in
the
show.
The perfect dad, the perfect mom, perfect the perfect
mom,
family.
Perfect family.
Perfect life, honey. Yeah, that's fucking bullshit.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. And there's so many people, especially here in Canada, who beg for supports. They just can't afford them or there's huge wait lists. And the fact that they have so, I'm not going to say they're loaded, but they're wealthy enough to be able to afford those.
They have the opportunities that not everybody has, for
That's
sure.
Right. So it is a bit of a slap in the face. So, yeah, okay. So I hate them even more now. Yeah.
So I'm just going to always have that in the back of my mind.
Yeah.
As I watch this show. Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. A show about being a family man is what Jax has started.
Oh my God. It's
big,
just
fat fucking
bad.
Lie.
Yeah.
It's so Jax.
Well, okay. This tracks for me because Jason is the only green flag on the show for me so far.
Yep. Okay. I got to agree with you there. I loved him. I think
loved.
Yeah. He's getting a gold star so far.
As Jax is openly slut shaming Kristen publicly in a group.
His lover.
Okay. Well, on that note.
Now that we've absolutely destroyed the show.
I feel a bit depressed now.
Sorry. That's why I was like, am I even going to bring this up? Because it'll come out. I'm sure it'll come up organically as the show goes on. But
I hope it does. They could be helping many people. Anyway, wow.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Bye. Thank you for listening.
Yep. Thanks for being depressed with us.
Come back next week. We're in our luteal phase right now, so we'll be better. Bye.
If you haven't yet, make sure you head on over and check out our Summer House episode. And I hope everyone's just having a great week and love and life.
Yes. And thank you guys so much for all the reviews, the ratings, the follows. It honestly means the flipping world to us. We are like kids on Christmas every morning checking our stats. So
it really does. It really has just made all of the work feel
worth it.
Worth it. I was like, is that okay to say? But yeah, it does. So. It's very validating to be getting some good feedback from you guys. So
yeah,
lots
for sure.
of love to all of you.
Have a great weekend.
Until next time, stay truthful.
But not hopeless.
Everybody cross your fingers that Sarah gets jury duty on Monday, yes. Okay? We'll keep you posted.
And go get blocked by Jex. Bye!